Okay, so we're in the seventh chapter of the book Nevertheless We Live, Seven Steps by the Man and Woman. And so we've been going through this, and the whole mindset with it has been that if we're going to get victory in different areas of our life over addiction things, it isn't just... we're not just aiming for sobriety, we're aiming for actual victory. We have to become different people than who we are right now. There has to be that personal transformation. And so, for that to happen, of course, us trying to change ourselves is very difficult, and so we need help. And to have lasting victory, we have to learn to walk with God. So that's the idea, is that walking is taking repeated steps, and so what steps does God want us to take to develop our personal walk with Him so that we can be transformed? And so it's the thing is that there's steps we take and goals that we want to aim for. And we've thought of that, of how before we didn't have any interest in the Bible, before we didn't know how to pray, but that becomes part of our life. Before we're very self-focused, instead we want to become compassionate. And so tonight, we want to consider the last of these seven that we've gone through, and that is becoming men and women who give. And so we're going to look at that this evening. And so this is from 1 Chronicles chapter 29. It says, "Thy, O Lord, is the greatest, and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty for all that is in the heaven and the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom of the Lord, and thou exalted his head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. And thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and give strength unto all. Now therefore, God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name, but who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thy own have we given thee." And so that's going to be kind of our verse that we're going to kind of use as our basis for tonight. But we see what it has, the sense of it is just how what God is owns, and that as we give, we're giving Him of His own. And so, we want to understand, first of all, that it's necessary for us to have a change of perspective. Because all of us have a tendency towards being selfish, self-indulgent, and materialistic. Right? We aren't usually givers, we're usually takers. That you think of a toddler, I can think of with all of our kids, and that it's not something generally that sharing comes naturally, right? It isn't like, oh yeah, I'll let you play with the toy. It's like mine. And you can't touch it. And it might even actually be your toy, but it's mine right now, and you can't touch it until I'm done with it. And if you do, I'm going to throw a wreck, right? That's how we start out as kids, and it's something we have to be taught how to share. And it's something that can be very slow learners in that concept, that even as adults, we haven't got that down, right? And so... very much we can have that tendency, and we need to recognize that tendency, that usually we're not givers, usually we're takers. As much as we can get, we're going to do that. That it's, if there's an opportunity to get ahead, to get something for ourselves that others don't have, we're usually going to take it as quickly as we can. But of course, when this tendency is combined with an addiction, it becomes very counterproductive and destructive. That there's things that we want and we grab hold of them, but those things aren't good for us. And especially we realize when we become self-focused, self-indulgent, that what really is harmed probably the most is our relationships with other people. Because we start to look at people as a means to get what we want. That it's kind of the thing where we can develop codependent relationships, that we can easily go from using substances to using people. And it can be very toxic in our relationships with people. But a lot of it we see, it comes from that kind of materialistic, self-focused attitude. Jesus says in Luke chapter 12, we're to beware of covetousness because a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. And that's a truth that I think most people don't understand. Most people assume, that's how you judge who you are as a person, by how much stuff you have. And there's an emptiness there. It says in 1 Timothy 6:9 and 10, it says that they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And so that's the thing, is that riches can be a great snare. And a lot of times it can be, even when you combine that with addiction, you think of how do different guys that start doing drugs end up being drug dealers. It's like, well, I don't want to be on the low man on the totem pole. I want to be the guy that rakes in all this money from all these other guys. And so it's that can spur things on, because it's a thing that, that's really what drives a lot of the illicit drug industry. It's like, this is a way I can get money. And of course, you're destroying lives as you do it, but I'm going to be in a better place. And then it's really a sad way to live, but that's the mindset that we can get into. And so when we're struggling with an addiction, and especially when we're struggling to try to get free of it, we're in a stage where we're very needy people. And we do have a legitimate need. We need some help, but even in that, we can be quite difficult to deal with because we are so needy, that we need help, we need it right now, and people to try to do that, it can be hard for them to adapt, and sometimes they just throw up their hands and say no. But we have that desire. We're looking for others to give us what we want, but if we still have that self-focused drive that brought us in the addiction, we realize that's going to continue to work against us, because it's kind of the thing, you have people that might legitimately want to help us, but we're so pushy to get the help that they're like, they back up and say, okay, you're too much of a difficult person to work with, and so I'm just going to wash my hands. And that's not what we want. We want people to have compassion on us and patience, but sometimes we can be our own worst enemy. And so, obviously, we need to have a change of perspective, that where we see things differently. We see money and things in a different way. It isn't like our God, it isn't our whole focus. We realize there are other things that are more important. And this is a thought, that we've always looked at what we possess as being ours. And that's from when we're little kids. This is mine, and no one else can have it. And we figure this is to do with what as we please, and we're in charge of it. But really, we want to understand is that everything that we have, ultimately, who does it belong to? It belongs to God. And it's His, and what He's doing is He's lending it to us. And putting it in your hands to be used for something profitable. And so He expects us to be wise stewards of what He has entrusted to us. And you think of that steward, if you think of a guy on the ship, the ship steward, that what it is he's given a whole lot of different things, different supplies that he has in a storeroom, right? And it isn't for him just to kind of sit on and be for himself. Instead, it's like if someone on the ship has a need, they go to him, and then he goes and finds it and gets it to him. It'd be Like, it's kind of really similar to a guy that runs like the parts counter at like a dealership, right? Where it's like, I need this, okay, I'm going to get it for you. And so it's really think about that, that he's entrusted things with us and we want to learn to be stewards of them. And so we see in 1 Peter, it talks of this thought where it says, and I think this is an important thought to remember, it says, as every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And so that's the thing. God gives us of his grace, gives us so many different things in life. And he says, well, as you've received, then I want you to give. And we need to learn that. And that if we, and that can be kind of the thing, is that we wonder, why do I have much right now? It talks about in Luke chapter 16 that if we're stingy with little, he's not going to give us a whole bunch more because he knows it's not going to be good for us. And he wants us to learn how to handle money properly, how to be giving and sharing with what he does give us. And so God's plan is not for us to hoard what he gives us to pamper ourselves. Rather, it is to share what we have to help others. And so he wants us to be a conduit and not a holding tank. And so you kind of think of it in this way, that God loves us. He wants to bless us with many different things. And you could think of ourselves that our lives are sort of like we're this container with a tap on either end. And one is where God's blessings are flowing in, and the other is where they're flowing out from us to others. And we're, of course, needy people. We want what God has to offer to us, and so we just say, Lord, just keep it coming, right? And we want the tap open wide to us, but then we just want to absorb it and take it all in for ourselves, and we want to crank shut the valve going to other people. And what you're going to find in your life when you do that is that a lot of times God will reach down and he'll shut the valve of what's coming in. And you look at God, why are you doing this? Why? I need this. I want this. Why are you not giving me this as I ask? And he said, okay, you need to open up that other valve and let my love and my goodness flow through you. If you're going to keep that closed, I'm going to keep my valve closed. Once you open that valve, then I'll open mine back up again. And so we have to learn that. And it's not always easy. Sometimes we can be stubborn and miss out on a lot of things just because we want to. We have that kind of selfish hoarding mentality. But the Lord's trying to help us to walk with him and learn. Yeah, as you've received, you need to give it out. And you're going to enjoy doing it. It's going to make your life feel a whole lot fuller than just being one that just try to just focus on pampering oneself. And so that's the thing. When we're selfish, we miss out. And the more giving we learn to be, the more blessings we receive. Talks about in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 7, it says, there is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. And we look at that, and we're like, the math does not make any sense on that at all. But we want to realize that's how God works, and it's kind of counterintuitive. That we can get all this stuff, right, and do everything we can, have all this stuff, and really have nothing of true value in our lives. But we can have other ways where we make ourselves poor, where we're giving of ourselves to other people. And we may not have much money, but we've got a whole bunch of friends and people whose lives we've helped. And we're rich. And we're just, we don't have maybe material wealth, but we do have something that's a lot more valuable. And so we want to get that sense that when we refuse to share or refuse to give, yeah, other people are missing out, but we're the ones that are missing out the most. And so we want to learn how to do that. And we see in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, it says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So what's that saying? Is that based on how you're giving out to other people, that's how you're going to receive. And so it talks another place, freely you have received, you need to freely give. That that's what God wants us to do. That as abundantly as God wants to give to us, we want to give as abundantly to other people as we can. And so we want to think of that. And of course, when we think of giving, of course, we're struggling to get past being so materialistically focused, thinking about money. And that sometimes we're obsessed with it, and really we want to break free from that. We don't want to be a servant to money, that we want instead it to serve God and be used of God. But we want to realize so much of what God gives us is of much greater value than material wealth. That what He gives us, money can't buy. And so we want to realize that, thinking of all the things that He gives and how we want to learn to give that back. Yes, we do want to, with our money, we want to be able to be benevolent and be willing to share with others that are in need. But there's a lot of other things that we can share too that are just as important. And so we think of it, there's things that we need in our lives, and we might be focused on our need and having our needs met. But the key to getting those needs fulfilled is not demanding God and others give them to us. That's like, I need this first before I'm going to do anything others. Instead, it's learning if we give to others first, then we have abundantly what we need. So we want to go through several examples of this. And this comes from that verse that we began with in Chronicles. And so first off, things that we can give, that we need, is honor. And we want to understand that God honors us as we give honor and respect to others. That a lot of times we want to be exalted, we want to be noticed, we want to be promoted, but what does God say? That God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And so it's when we humble ourselves that then God raises us up. And so it's learning that when we humble ourselves, we give honor to God, we give honor to other people, then God honors that. And our lives are blessed as a result. And that's the thing. Before honor is humility. As we give God the honor that's worthy of Him, then He puts us in a place of honor too. Secondly, it talks about power belonging unto God. And the power in this sense is the idea of authority. And so, it's the sense that God gives us of His power, His authority, as we give or yield to those who are in power and authority. That we want to, in many ways, be in charge and be in control of different things, but really God wants us to put others first. He says, okay, authority figures in your life, you honor them, you show respect to them, to their authority, then I'm going to exalt you as a result. The third is might, or strength. And so this comes from Proverbs chapter 40. And it's really kind of an interesting thought that they develop in the chapter here. It talks about those that are faint. And it talks about God. It says, He giveth them power to faint, to them that have no might. He increases strength.
in the usual thing, beware the young men shall every fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And so there's times that we're faint. We're lacking physical strength, physical endurance, and our tendency is to just, okay, I'm just tired and I'm just going to step out and let someone else do this. But it says, if we wait on the Lord, we'll renew our strength. And we look at that, and we see the word wait, and a lot of times we think of it in terms, okay, well, I'm waiting for God to do His thing. And so I'm being patient and waiting for Him to catch up to me almost. And of course, that doesn't make any sense when you really think about it, because God's not late. He's not like holding us back and we're sitting there tapping our foot waiting for God to get His act together. That just doesn't make any sense at all. But we see there, it doesn't say we're waiting for the Lord. He's saying, as we wait upon the Lord. And you want to think of it in this way of a waiter. That what they do they do? That they're a waiter, we call them a servant, right? Where they're looking, okay, this person is calling me to do something for them. And you could think of, like maybe some of you even had experience with that. In a restaurant where you've been on your feet all night, but then you have someone else comes in and you've got to wait on that person, right? But it's that whole idea is that you want to serve them with a good attitude and make sure that their needs are met. That's what your whole focus is as a waiter or waitress. And so that's kind of the idea of waiting upon the Lord. It's where, okay, we're tired out, but God says, okay, there's something I want you to do. And when we yield to Him, then we find His strength. And really kind of a picture of that you can think of with the disciples, of how they were worn out, and all these people that are around, and it had been a long day, and they said, Lord, just send them away, we're tired. And we know even at that time that they emotionally they were drained, because John the Baptist, of course, had just been martyred, and they'd heard the news. And He said, well, no, we can't send them away. We got to give them something to eat. And they're like, hey, we don't have anything to feed them. And He says, well, come to me. We've got these 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And so He give them some, and they go out and give it all away. And then they come back, well, I've got a little bit more for you to give out. And they keep doing it. They basically give out till they're empty, come back, and give them more to do. And here everybody got filled. Miraculously. And that's kind of the thing, is that we're in our emptiness, and Lord, I don't have anything to offer. And He said, well, I need you to do that. And when we step out in faith, we wait upon the Lord, then we find He gives us strength. He gives us what we need. And so it's the thing, is that the more that we give God our energy and time, we find the more He gives us of His energy and His time. That we find that He actually seems to make time last longer. And really, that's the whole idea. We try to redeem the time. He can help us in that better than anyone. And so we think of that, but then also greatness. It talks about that. And so it's this thought that, of course, we're seeking to promote ourselves, seeking to advance ourselves. But as we help make others great, God advances us in life. And it's kind of the thought is that a lot of times there can be kind of these seemingly thankless jobs where we toil in obscurity, but it can be something where God sees it, and He's the one that raises us up. He sees what we've done. Like an example of that, you can think of like with Joseph, with everything that he faced in his life, right? Where he could have felt sorry for himself. But we see with his life, what he did is that he came to Potiphar's house and he worked hard and tried to be as much of a help and blessing to his master as he could. And where did he get him? He got him in jail. And of course, He was falsely accused. He knew what he had done. He'd done the right thing. He suffered for it. And he got brought lower. But then he was in there and, of course, helping the jailer. These two guys have dreams. He helps them out and he says, like, okay, can you kind of put a good word for me? And the guy said, oh, sure, it does. As soon as he gets out, he forgets. But we see that as he was helping people, helping bring them to greatness, that God advanced him. It brought him into a place of greatness where he was like second in command of Pharaoh. He essentially saved like countless lives through the famine and just being prepared. And so we see that, that that's what God does as we are willing to help others. Then there's two more, and I think these ones are almost kind of self-evident in some ways, but I think they're ones we need to be reminded of. But mercy, and we would ask ourselves, do I need God's mercy? And we say, oh my goodness, do I ever need God's mercy? Right? The things that we've done, and we need God to show mercy to us. But it says, James 2:13, it says, he shall have judgment without mercy that has shown no mercy. And so if we want to have God pour his mercy out on us, but if we're shutting it off to others, if we're basically not giving them any kind of benefit of the doubt, we're always insisting that they got to pay up to the sent, God sees that, and he's going to turn the tap off. And we need his mercy, so we've got to learn not to do that. Then finally as well, God's forgiveness. And he says that you forgive as I've forgiven you. That he sets the pattern. And of course, forgiveness is not easy. As one book title of it is, forgiveness isn't natural, it's supernatural. And, but it's the thing, if we don't do that, there are consequences. And we have to realize that. Because it says in Matthew chapter 6, of course, part of the what we call the Lord's Prayer is it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And he explains that, because if you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And so, do we need God's forgiveness? Yes, we do. That we need his covering over what we've done, right? And we can be so thankful for his forgiveness that we can be cleansed, and all that awful stuff we did is forgotten. It's cast in the depths of the sea. It's not going to be any more remembered. But it's just the thing where he says, if you're not going to forgive other people, like, how can you expect me to forgive you? And so it's a serious thing. So we want to realize, if I want God's flowing of his forgiveness to be as thick and as full as possible, I need to be showing that same forgiveness to other people. But it's just, it's a way he's trying to teach us to live, and it's so important, really, as we think about for our mental health and other things. And so we need to have that, that we need to be able to show forgiveness as we have been forgiven. Alright, so this is from 1 Corinthians 9:68. It says, this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart shall he give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that he always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. And so it's that principle that he's teaching, that when we're giving of ourselves and what God has given to others, it's really like we're planting seeds that are going to produce a great harvest. And if we're just hanging on to the seeds and thinking, well, I'm only going to plant the bare minimum, we're the ones that are going to miss out on what could have been a great harvest. And so he said, as your purpose in your heart, give. And he says, not grudgingly, not, oh, do I have to, not, it's just, thing just, okay, well, I don't want to, but I guess I will. Like that's not the attitude we want. God loves a cheerful giver. And as we have that right attitude, we're blessed by that. He makes all grace abound towards us, and then we can abound in every good work. And so that's the thing. The more we learn to give, and the more we learn to do it with the right attitude, we actually find the happier we become. And you can think of it. Some of the people that are most miserable are the ones that have all this stuff that are always worried about someone stealing it or wrecking it, right? Where when a person isn't consumed by material things, but instead is like, oh, you want this? You can have it. And that's kind of the... Sometimes I think we've met people like that where they say, oh, this could mean a lot more to you than it does to me, so you can use it more than I can. And so when we have that, not only do we get to have a positive impact on others, so we're helping them, but really for ourselves, we realize it gives us purpose, and it really keeps us away from our selfish tendencies and our addictive behavior. And so all these things, there's steps that the Lord is saying, I want you to take these. And sometimes, of course, our flesh is kind of wondering, I don't know about that. That seems kind of strange. But yet it's we're learning to walk with Him. We're learning to walk by faith. And everything He asks us to do is for a reason. That the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so as we follow these steps toward His direction, then we find that... we don't end up going back. We don't end up stumbling and falling. Instead, we move forward, and we can learn to leave addiction.